American songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Max Leon over Zoom video. Max tells us about growing up in Oregon and how he got into music. His parents were really big advocates for him when it came to music, put him in drum lessons and violin, and ended up getting him guitar lessons at age 6, and that's what he really gravitated towards. He wrote a few songs in middle school, actually had one song recorded in middle school, which was put into a student project that became a music video, which is really cool. He talked about starting a band in high school, getting into Berklee School of Music, that process, leaving after 1 year, moving to Los Angeles, and really getting his music career going. He tells us all about putting out his first song online, first grade, and his brand new song, Untitled. You can watch our interview with Max on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards, and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Max Leon. Well, cool, man. Well, thank you so much for doing this. This podcast is all about you, your journey in music. We'll talk about your new EP and the new song Untitled and all of that. That's cool with you.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Right on. So where are you in LA?
Yeah, I'm in Silver Lake.
No, oh, so we're like right on. Okay, I'm from originally from San Diego, and just like literally a month ago moved to Nashville. That's why, like I was saying, there's nothing in this room. But oh, wow. So I know Southern California quite a bit. Were you born and raised there?
No, I was born in Portland, Oregon.
Okay.
And yeah, I lived there until I graduated from high school.
And then you moved to Los Angeles?
I spent a year in Boston at Berklee College of Music.
After
high school. Yeah. And then I left after a year and moved to LA. So I've been here for like almost three years now.
Okay, cool, man. Well, how'd you get into music originally?
I kind of just started out. I was like 6 or 7, and my parents got me into guitar lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like, they always wanted me to learn an instrument, and I had tried out like various different ones. I think I took some drum lessons and I took some like violin lessons, but none of them really caught on until I tried guitar. And then I just really got into it, and it kind of became like a hobby of mine, something I was kind of obsessed with for a while. Mm-hmm. And yeah, in high school, I guess in middle school, I started writing my own songs, but I was just kind of writing on guitar and like messing around, kind of like more singer songwritery, like acoustic stuff like that. And then in high school was when I really started to learn about production and that whole side of writing. And then I just really got into music and kind of decided in high school that I wanted to be a musician. And then when I was thinking about colleges, I was like, I feel like music Berklee school is the path.
Well, obviously you have some talent to just be like, you know, I think I'm gonna go to Berklee, like one of the hardest music schools to get to, you know what I mean? So you had songwriting, even prior to being in high school, you're already writing your own songs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if song is the right word. There were attempts at songs, but
still, ambition.
Yeah, I was definitely, I was, you know, growing up, I was like listening to Jack Johnson and Cat Stevens and John Mayer all the time. And so that naturally translated someone who was learning how to play guitar, pretty naturally translated into me just like trying to figure out how to write my own music. And just went from there.
Do you remember like when you wrote the first song, do you remember, or maybe it wasn't your first song, but do you remember showing it to people? Like I want to back up real quick. Your parents were kind of really pushing you into music. Were they musicians at all, or are they just fans?
Neither of them are musicians. They just, I think they wanted their kid to have like an outlet, a creative outlet.
Okay.
And it wasn't like I was, like being forced to take.
Sure, but they like gave you the opportunity to try a lot of things.
Yeah, they were like, we want you to be able to, you know, have some sort of creative outlet. And so guitar is something that I just really like latched onto early. And so it worked out pretty well.
That's awesome that they're such huge like advocates for you in that sense. Cause a lot of kids don't get that, or they'll either be thrown in piano lessons and then they quit and their parents are just like, oh, okay, well there's that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm
super grateful for that. I honestly wish that they had like thrown me into more like learn guitar and learn piano and learn. Cause I mean, now I'm like trying to learn how to play piano and it's so much harder when you don't have like all that free time that you have as a kid, but
sure. right on. Okay. Well, do you remember like when you kind of took the songs out of the bedroom, so to speak, and you know, you said you were in a band in high school, like were you playing in front of people at all or showing people your songs prior to being in that band?
I actually, in middle school, I think I must have been seventh or eighth grade. I somehow, through like mutual friends or my parents' friends or something like that, I was able to have a session, like a recording session at a studio.
Wow.
And I was obviously super young and I didn't really know what was going on, but I had like a full song of mine recorded. And so, yeah, I remember like playing it for people and being super excited about it. And I think one of the like middle school like film classes made a music video for it.
Really?
And I was like super stoked. That was the first time I like actually recorded a song, and I was like, this is so cool.
That must have been, yeah, really cool. What a cool experience to be in the studio that young and then have the song be cool enough, good enough for them to put a video together. Do you have that somewhere? Like, is that like on the internet?
I think it's probably stored away somewhere. It's definitely not
accessible,
like public. Yeah.
It's unlisted.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So you start a band with just friends in high school?
Yeah, well, I was in the jazz band at my high school.
Oh, wow. As a guitarist?
Yeah, I was playing guitar. I joined my freshman year and I did all 4 years in the jazz band. But I also, I think in junior, senior year, got like a bunch of my friends together and we started our own little fun like band project on the side, which was just kind of for fun to like play shows around town. But I was always kind of more into just kind of working by myself and trying to figure out Ableton and the production side. That was like in high school, I was pretty obsessed with the whole SoundCloud scene.
Oh, right.
Around that time, it was kind of like when it was really blowing up. And
yeah.
And so, yeah, that was super exciting. And just like learning how to use Ableton and on YouTube and all those, you know, YouTube tutorials were basically like where I learned everything. So that was kind of like my focus in high school.
That's cool. It's so fascinating to me that growing up, I'm old, so I didn't have like, it was like guitar, ultimate guitar tab was like how you try to learn songs. But like,
yeah,
now you can go on YouTube and maybe, you know, who knows if it's the real version, but you can get some sort of version of a song to learn, or like you said, Ableton, somebody's on there with like a tutorial video. It's cool that you have to have the access to that.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I feel like it's kind of the best way to learn because you're figuring out yourself. Like it's all self-motivated and as opposed to being in a class where someone's like telling you like, this is what you do. It's like, no, I actually want to figure this out about for myself. So I have to like search it up and.
Right. Right. And so, yeah, instead of a teacher going, okay, this is how you do it. Cause I remember in college, I took like video editing class. I love like editing video, but it was like the class, like it was something you would learn in the whole semester. You'd pay for the semester and it would be something that you could literally learn 5 minutes on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's part of the reason why Berkeley felt like not the right place for me, because I was spending like hours in this classroom learning something that I could learn in 5 minutes on YouTube and go on with my day. And I was like, why am I spending all this money
right
at this school and I could just get it for free online? So,
but still getting into Berkeley, that's, I mean, yeah, I'm comparing like a, you know, a state school in California to like Berkeley's quite, I think, a bit different. But like getting in there, did you go in as guitarist or are you trying to go in for production?
I was a guitar player. Yeah.
Okay.
The way that the Berklee auditions work is you have to play an instrument, so you can't necessarily, I don't know if they changed it recently, but you can't get in as a producer. You have to like audition with like a guitar, or mm-hmm. you could be a vocalist. Sure. So yeah, I just auditioned as a guitar player, and then once I was there, I was like, I actually kind of want to focus on production. But
okay, I've talked to many people that have went there, like over the course of this podcast in a couple of years, and it's always a different story. Like some people were like, yeah, it was like at the time when they were just letting anyone in, or it was like, it was insane. Like you had a sight read on the spot and you had to, you know, give them a song and play like a solo. Like, tell me your experience about like, how did you get into school and your audition process?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how to read music. I mean, now after being there for a year, I can like kind of work through it. But at the time that I auditioned, I had literally no clue. And that was definitely part of the audition that I failed. But yeah, for me, I just had to, I came prepared with a couple pieces on guitar. I think one of them was an original song. And another one was like a Django Reinhardt, like jazz thing.
Okay.
And yeah, I just played some songs for them. And then I think there was like, yeah, some like improv section.
Sure.
And it, yeah, it was super intimidating. And you don't really know when you leave what's going to happen, but I got in. So.
When you got in, was it intimidating? I mean, because I've also heard like you get there, you know, you're a great guitar player, and then now you're around every best guitar player of their own hometown, you know what I mean? And then like they'll put you in these rooms, you kind of have like riff off people. Like, was that kind of similar experience what you had there?
Yeah, I mean, you think you're a great musician, you know, I'm going to Berklee, mm-hmm. and then you get there and everyone's better than you. Like literally everyone is better than you. At least that's how it felt. And so all of a sudden it's like, oh, I'm back, like being at the bottom of the barrel here, like, and that for some people, I think that can be super inspiring, and make you want to work hard. But for me, it felt like I was just constantly comparing myself to everyone. And it was like super, I think overall it was super detrimental to my like creative, just like ability to, to be creative. And it was just kind of sucking me, out of that. So yeah. Yeah, I think it depends person to person. Everyone I talk to that has been to Berklee has a different story.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm curious. So when does the solo project start? And like, when do you start putting songs up? And like, how does the momentum begin? You know, I mean, now you've got millions of streams online. Like, tell me the story behind that.
Well, so I moved out to LA in 2018, and I was just kind of hanging out here, you know, working and doing music during my free time, and just kind of trying to put together a library of songs that I thought was worth releasing. And so I just spent a lot of time just in my room, like writing songs. And eventually I met up with one of my good friends now, who's a songwriter here named Eric Leva. And we had actually met at a summer camp. He was a teacher at a Berklee summer camp that I went to for songwriting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so we had kind of kept in touch. And when I moved to LA, I was like, hey, you're the only person I know who lives here. Uh-huh. Maybe we could like have a session together or something. So we wrote some songs together, and he kind of helped me out with, you know, kind of introducing me to various people and his friends and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of helped me get sort of my foot in the door when it came to the scene in LA. Mm-hmm. And then through that, I was introduced to my A&R at Interscope, Kelsey. And she was kind of like, look, like, I really like your music. I think you have stuff going for you, but you need to figure your sound out before like you just start releasing music. And that was super helpful to me, because if I had released the music I was making when I met her, I would be, you know, it would be.
Okay. So I was going to ask you that. So you didn't have anything up yet at this point.
No. So yeah, that was the big thing is that I had no music, out when I'm
online or whatever.
LC.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then I just spent a good like 6 months just really thinking about what I wanted to release. And, yeah. And that helped me kind of like formulate a sound that I really, associated with. So.
Sure. And then when you put a song up, like was first grade's the first song you put out?
Yeah.
And I mean, that song it has a ton of plays. I mean, on Spotify, it was over 500,000 plays. Like, I mean, was that the song that started going, or was it when you put out Cautious and it was millions? Like where did like the progression kind of build? And
I think first grade was definitely, it was crazy to me to see kind of what the response to that song was, because I'd like put out like little demos and stuff on SoundCloud and stuff like that. But I had never released a song after like going and meeting with, you know, people at Spotify and meeting people at Apple Music and YouTube and kind of like, you know, creating relationships with those people. And so when that song came out, I felt like I had some support already behind me.
Talked to these people prior to the release of the song.
Yeah. So that was, I think, a pretty unique position, because obviously a lot of people already have music out. And then they, you know, so yeah, for me from the get go, I was pretty amazed at the response. But then, yeah, of course, Cautious was the first one where I think people really were like, oh, this is cool.
This is dope. Right. Right. And did it get like playlists? Or do you know? And do you remember like seeing like the numbers going up and being like, whoa, like it's at 100,000 now, you know, it's 1,000,000. Like that must've just been like,
yeah, no, that it's still wild to me. I think the first, with Cautious, the thing that really blew me away was, Triple J in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Added it to their rotation.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. So
as a US artist too, that's huge.
Yeah. So that was crazy, because I was, you know, getting messages from people who are like, hey, I'm in Australia, I just heard your song on the radio. And I was like, this is insane. Like, I don't know. It's just wild. Every time they play a song of mine on Triple J, I'm just like, it's blown away. It's so cool.
Yeah. That is so dope. And that's crazy that they picked it up out of all the stations. It wasn't like, you know, K-Rock or somebody like in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Triple J, but they're like such a huge, you know, music kind of pioneer. Like they break artists and stuff. I mean, that's really dope that they were able to get their hands on it and give it a play. Unfortunately, like, because it's on Australian radio, you probably haven't been out there and heard it.
No,
like,
I know. That's the biggest bummer is like, I would, the thing I want to do most is go to Australia. Like, who doesn't want to go to Australia? But it hasn't happened yet.
Go to Australia and just be in a car when the song comes on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a huge moment for you in itself. Exactly. That's awesome. So, okay. So those songs were coming out, what, like the end of, or those are in 2020. So was like the world already completely shut down when you were starting to put out the songs?
Yeah, basically I released First Grade and Cautious, and then the rest of my discography has happened during COVID. So those are the only two songs that I put out while things were open. And I was actually supposed to have my first like little show. I was opening for an artist named Ren for short in LA, and that week was when everything got shut down, so I didn't even get to play a show.
Oh my gosh, like that must have been pretty crushing, especially since you had some real traction, I mean, on those songs.
Yeah, it was a bummer. And of course, at the time, everyone's like, oh, it's a couple weeks, like it's no big deal,
right? Flatten the curve, man.
As time went on, it was like, oh shit, like this is gonna be forever. But
right, a year plus later, we're still Zoom calling each other.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Well, I want to hear about this EP, and what are any of the songs that are on your current Spotify, which I mean are all bangers and have millions of plays, are any of those going to be a part of it, or is Untitled kind of the first record that is going to be a part of the EP?
Yeah. So all the songs that are out are going to be on the EP as well. Okay. And it's a 9-track EP. So, there'll be, including Untitled, there'll be 3 new songs on there.
Okay.
And yeah, it just, I called it, the EP's called Malleable. Mm-hmm. And, I titled it that because, I mean, obviously there's my song Malleable is on it, but, also I feel like the EP has kind of become this, this kind of amalgamation of a bunch of different periods in my life. Like, you know, Cautious, I wrote when I first moved to LA, and then I wrote, 5, and also, actually, no, I think just 5 is the one that I wrote on a Zoom call. And then there's ones, I wrote before, you know, so it's just kind of like all these different, periods in my life. And I feel like the process of making this EP has just kind of been this weird, like kind of twisting, process where things have changed and our outlooks on the world have changed a lot. And so the EP, I think, kind of reflects those changes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So 5, you said, was written over Zoom.
Yeah. Actually, Untitled is also written on Zoom. There's a couple of Zoom songs on there, which is crazy.
Was it weird going from sessions in person with people? It's got to be different, but like to the Zoom calls, and like, did you like that? Because I've heard people saying like, yeah, I actually love the fact that I can write over Zoom because it's simple and I can just go like lay on your bed behind you, like when you're done or whatever. Or is it different, or do you prefer it in person because it's got that more?
I'm definitely someone who prefers an in-person session every single time. Like when quarantine first happened, I was doing, some Zoom sessions here and there, and it was just so like disheartening for me because there's just something about a Zoom call where, especially when you're, trying to write a song, that you just can't feel the other person's reactions really. And so there's a lot of moments where you might be excited about something or they might be excited about something, and that isn't really reflected.
Yeah.
So, whereas like when you're in the room with someone and like someone like hums something like under their breath and you're like, oh, wait, that's the melody. Like, that stuff just doesn't happen on Zoom. And so, I definitely got lucky a couple times when we were writing 5, and Untitled. And I think that was because I was, I'm good friends with the people I was on the call with already. Uh-huh. But I think it's just a completely different game when you're meeting someone for the first time on the Zoom call, and then you're like, all right, now let's write a song. And, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't have, you kind of almost have to show up. Do you feel like you have to show up, like, I don't want to say like more prepared, but like kind of more prepared, because there's less like, you can't just get up and walk around and like stretch and like think of thing. I mean, maybe you can, I don't know. But I feel like if you're in a session, a situation like this, it's more like, okay, I have to be like super focused on what is happening right now. And we got to like really like, we're working.
Yeah, that's another part of it is like, I feel like when you're in the studio with someone in person, you can just kind of like chat about your life, hang out, maybe you can order food. Like there's just like a lot more conversation that happens. And on Zoom, it's like, all right, this is a business call. Like, something needs to, at the end of this call, something needs to be created. So I don't know.
Sure.
so different.
But obviously 5's an amazing song, so you could still do it. You can perform, over these situations. I will say I love on your Instagram that you have the I'm Scared of Girls and Tattoos like written on your arm, and people are like, oh, like debating whether or not it's like real or not.
Yeah, no, that was that's just Sharpie.
Yeah, it's just funny that like you did that. And I love that you posted like the clip, the teaser of the lyrics, and kind of like, cause people being like, well, what the hell is he talking about? And then now we know, oh, that's the lyrics to part of the lyrics to Untitled. I thought that was super creative.
Thank you. Yeah. I first posted a clip of Untitled on my TikTok, and it was just like immediately people like really responded to those first lines, and I was like, oh, this is like something that people relate to, I think. Is and the main thing is like being scared of things. I feel like a lot of people don't talk about what they're scared of. And so I think that's why people have really responded to those lyrics. And so, yeah, it was really cool to see that. I didn't really expect it, honestly. Cause I wrote that first verse just one night, like alone in my room. And I was like, this is kind of cool. And I couldn't come up with a chorus. So I just kind of stopped. I was like, maybe this will turn into something. And I just like played it and like posted it on TikTok. Cause I was like, I don't know, who knows what's going to happen.
Right.
And the next morning I was like, oh shit, like people really like this. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So it's cool that you can kind of get that like almost instant reaction from people. Like, and you could, I'm sure as an artist or as a musician, you could feed off that. And if people are like, oh, that, you know, that blows or whatever, then you're going to be like, well, I know not to bring that to my next Zoom session or yeah, whatever. Exactly. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think it's like in place of playing like an unreleased song at a show and seeing like how the audience reacts to that. Like there, you know, we can't do that right now. So just like posting a little clip on TikTok and seeing if people relate to it or not is kind of, I feel like a similar thing.
Yeah, that's a really interesting thought. I hadn't thought about that, because now we, you know, you can't just go up there and play a song and see if people are like, oh, yeah, I'm not down with that one. Then, you know, yeah. Okay, well, that's not going to probably make the record, or I shouldn't, right. You know, play this. But now you can actually put it out there to the world, to like all of your fans in one, you know, one post. And
yeah, exactly.
See what people really think. With that, like on that same line, you know, you're putting out a record, your first EP, and we still can't go out and play live. Is that going to be like a kind of a weird situation, or are you prepared for that? Or
I mean, yeah, it's definitely a bummer. There's nothing I want to do more than play shows right now, but I think we've also like found a lot of ways around that, and I think it's been kind of a fun experiment to like come up with different you know, like ways that we can have people engage with the songs and that aren't in person. And so like I've done a lot of, you know, like virtual shows and live streams and stuff like that, which is I think the closest you can kind of get to a concert right now. But
sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a double-edged sword. Like it's kind of a bummer, but at the same time, you know, without quarantine, I probably wouldn't have been posting stuff on TikTok, and that, you know, that audience there wouldn't exist. So there's
right. Pros and cons. Well, that's awesome, man. I love that you're able to do some of those live stream events. Do you enjoy it? Is it still kind of weird when you finish the song and it's like, just like hearts and fingers and
yeah,
and it's there's a latency, so it's like, does anyone care yet? Okay.
it's definitely weird, but I mean it's fun. Like I really enjoy live streaming, honestly. I feel like it's kind of a fun thing to just like directly interact with people in a way that you wouldn't really be able to. So
kind of and the one thing I think it's not cool. I've mentioned this before on my podcast, but it's like the behind the curtain look, like, and I think that's what is really appealing about TikTok. I mean, it's that it even goes back to like the real world back in the, you know, or like I can't think of the word right now, but like the TV shows where it's like, you know, you're not, it's real life.
Yeah,
reality TV, there we go. I couldn't think of the name, but it's like, you know, behind the curtain looks like there's your surfboard in the background and like you're in your room. Like I just think like people think like Max is just a dude like all of us, and he just happens to be an amazing songwriter. I think people like really gravitate and think it's like you're letting them into your life in a way that you probably wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah, no, I definitely I'm not I feel like I'm not naturally like the type of person to like be online all the time, like, and be like, I'm going live on TikTok, or it's right. like naturally I wouldn't think to do that, but yeah, just because we've all been kind of stuck here, it's definitely been something that I've started to do a lot more often. It's something that I like enjoy a lot now, because it gives me like an interaction that, you know, wouldn't exist without it. Yeah. So
some validation to what you're doing and working yeah. on, you know, from the world, aside from, because now you can't get the applause or the, yeah. you know, even people at the shows. But dude, Max, thank you so much, man, for hanging out and talking with me today.
Of course.
I have one more question before I let you go. Do you have any advice for aspiring artists?
Great question. I would say just write as many songs as you can, and people will respond to some of them, and some of them are going to be terrible and you're going to think that you suck, and you'll get through it. Like this is something that I struggle with a lot, is like you write one bad song and it ruins your entire day, 'cause you think that you suddenly lost your ability as a songwriter, but it's never true. So I just think, yeah, just be as creative as you can and just keep doing what you do.